at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alma Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute, talking about our favorite government program, Social Security. Social Security is America's retirement plan, and you know how it works. A small piece of every paycheck goes into a huge national savings account. And then when we retire, that fund pays nearly everybody a monthly check, and it helps replace the income that we're no longer earning. The amount you get each month depends on how old you are when you retire and how much you made in your highest paid years. In 2023, about two-thirds of retired Americans relied on Social Security, which is why any politician who even suggests that Social Security should be cut better have a darn good retirement plan of their own. If you agree, join me and the 6 million members at Work Money. That's the not-for-profit I run. We tell companies and political leaders that they better do right by everyday folks. You can find us at workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Wednesday night, educators amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Johnny Lupinacci, me here, Anya on the board. It is one big, happy, happy, happy family. Johnny, and you know why we're so happy? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Speaking of beer, leading up to the show, all of the conversation about well-being, and I was just thinking, okay, isn't everything always better when you're having a beer?
It depends. Depends on who you're having a beer with or whether or not.
I guess. But it's educators amplified in the house. And, you know, we're talking, it's, Johnny, you were saying just a lot going on. Teachers, you know, you say, how are the kids doing? The kids, they're not doing great. But then the teachers, how are the teachers doing? I don't know. So we got two of our favorite teachers, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, to kind of bring some truth. We were saying last night we were doing the, you know, let's get real. Well, here we are tonight. You cannot get more real when you have educators amplified in the house. And I just, you know, the whole idea, though, too, I still, Teacher Joanna.
Yeah.
Why is it that when you guys talk about regulation, though, it still makes me think about testing and policies and stuff like that? Why doesn't regulation work in my brain to understand that what you're talking about is a calm sense of being? When you're saying a regulated person is experiencing a balance the way they're doing it. But that word just doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't land on me. Is it just because I'm so dysregulated?
Well, no, it's not common. It's not common in our society to really have a deep understanding of how our brains and bodies work. And I always say we just need the new nomenclature, and the new nomenclature that lines up with, again, how our brains and bodies work, neuroscience, what's happening. So yeah, regulation in our mind is about, or not just in our mind, facts, is it's about your nervous system regulation. And regulation is really about being in balance. Mm. So yeah, you think of those like, I don't know, like really old, like male dominated economic visions of what regulations are. And I get it, but right. Of course, Educators Amplified is about the shift to, like you said, a new nomenclature surrounding schools and education that has to do with, let's say, balance. Does balance feel better to you?
Balance. Those are the words, you know, the kind of yoga, the Zen that kind of get me there. But and well-being, right? We talk about well-being. But what Johnny was talking about, though, too, is he keeps hearing it, and we're hearing this, is the well-being. If we know it's so darn important, from the research studies, everybody says, you know, it's good to be well-regulated. What the heck's going on in schools? Because there, it seems like nothing is set up. And what we've heard from both Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna is that the pursuit of regulation seems to be an incredibly hard road, uphill, up a cliff, backwards, climbing ice without ice gear, all just to get to a state of well-being. Why is it so darn hard to achieve well-being as a teacher?
Well, hey, we got an hour and we will get into it. Yeah. But I do think overall it's because, again, it's just viewed as siloed, even in our, you know, outside of schools, right? We look at mental health and physical health as separate instead of integrated. They're connected. And so I think that's part of it, right? Where we're like, when schools, our work is very maybe like concrete and siloed and separated. And when we know as practitioners that you actually do have to have well-being in order to deeply learn, but that is not the system that was built. And that is not the system that we're operating. And that's what I'm saying about it right now.
And Tim, I'm gonna back up and say, I'm bringing this up because I don't think it's actually talked about. I think Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie are bringing that to the forefront with Educators Amplified. But you have to really say enough of schooling, because it's just not designed in a way to support, and whether we call it regulated, balanced, or a holistic understanding of that we are human, and so are the learners in our classrooms, and that we don't necessarily organize best around born on dates and test scores or subject matters and fit into 50 minutes really neatly and stacking it up. And I actually think most listeners, and this is not me attacking our listeners, this is just my experience as an educator and then as a teacher educator, I don't think we do a great job of telling the story of what it's like to be a teacher. Because I think when we start to talk about things like wellness, or we start to talk about the well-being of teachers, I think, and this is not against the general public, but I think the idea is like, oh, come on, you crybabies about how hard it is to be a teacher, right? But I don't think people really understand the adverse health effects and the like the strain and emotional, like real drain and crash that teachers go through. And so this came up this week. We were talking about the time of year it is. Mm-hmm. And like remembering like with being in and out of classrooms or being a teacher in May. And you're just like, okay, deep breath. Because school is really about being all wound up. And what if we could really think about it in a different way? What if we could be human, be educators, be learners together in a space that was designed in a way such that our health was maintained through that? And so I was like, hold on to your pants, everybody and listener out there, because I'm saying this, but Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna, this is what Educator Amplify dedicates so much effort and time towards, amplifying the teacher experience, but then putting the idea out there that it's not really all that radical or wild to think, hey, can we balance or can we regulate? And I love that idea, Tim, because I don't think we talk about it enough. In fact, I, as a teacher educator, I think we oftentimes find that that how we teach people to teach is completely dysregulating. And it's like this idea of like, here's the standards and here is like constantly in response and defense to either the politics of education or whatever our students need. It's a constantly wound up, ramped up, like fight the fight. And you're just like, hold on, breathe and be.
I was going to say,
I think, Tim Bugs, one of the things I think that often happens is it gets like, oh, they just want to do some yoga together in class. Or, you know, it's like maybe somewhat, yeah, but how do we chill the noise and be in sort of be in rhythm together? And I think of schools, it's not often designed in a way such that like we can sync up and learn together. So that's one of the things I'm reminded, like, hey, May, ride the wave, right? And be together, because that lasting impact that you'll have on your own enjoyment in the job, but also that the memory and experience young people have of, hey, this person in front of us all or with us all cares about me, is feeling me, is seeing me, and understands what I need as a learner right now as the seasons change. So I just get pumped. Thanks, Educators Amplified, for being here, but also for regularly reminding me, like, hey, I think it's okay that we need to breathe and say teaching is not set up in a way where we should feel regulated. And what if it was? What would that be like?
Hey, check it out. Text from Cam from Nina, though, too. Nah, I've seen how kids bully teachers. I think post-schooling, that's when I started feeling bad for the good teachers. It is tough. Teacher Hallie, I mean, Johnny made me think about this. So, you know, when I was a teacher educator, yeah, I don't think I ever prepared future teachers to actually kind of come at the reality of taking care of themselves. And I was wondering if you remember when you were learning to be a teacher, if the whole idea of teacher well-being was even addressed in the teacher education curriculum to, you know, because it's making me think, going like, okay, maybe we're not even helping the case, because shouldn't it be a part of preparing teachers is to prepare them on how they're able to take care of themselves and well-being? That has never been a part of the teacher education curriculum, as far as I know, Teacher Hallie.
No, I didn't have part of that as part of my, you know, prep for being a teacher. But I will say, I still, to me, that sounds like we're putting it on the teachers, that it's the teacher's fault that they're not taking care of themselves, that they can't handle the work environment, where I would rather put our time and energy into deconstructing the system, because it is just so layered. Like, maybe people don't say this as bluntly as we need to, and like, or maybe when we do say it, people can't hear it, but I will tell you, facts, that the teaching profession is a toxic work environment. It's toxic because of the hierarchy structure within leadership. it's toxic because we have a focus on things that don't actually meet the needs of like the children or the quote unquote product of what we're trying to do. It's toxic because it is a female dominated profession. And so there are just ways of how women are treated in the workplace. I also think that it's toxic because in our society, we've got this really old way of defining what success is, defining what happiness is, defining what schools are really for in its function. And so like, to me, I'm like, it's the system. I feel like you could prepare a teacher as much as possible to have a healthy work-life balance. And the system breeds unhealthy like work-life balance.
Or what you will find is many people are leaving because they know what being healthy is, right, and they recognize it cannot be attained. So that is what Educators Amplified has been about for years, saying like, hey guys, this exodus doesn't have to happen. If we're willing to change our structures and take care of the people who are serving, that's really what we've been saying. And we have the experience to prove that it can be done, and it is beneficial and generative to both the teachers and the students.
It's Educators Amplified in the house. Yeah, you can hear them. 855-752-4842. Well-being next.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, you can hear that coming back. Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified in the house, Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Regulation. Yeah, the nervous system kind. How do we achieve it? Teachers, particularly, not very good. Teacher Joanna, you were talking about, yeah, the exodus and the reality here. And I said, I remember, you know, doing all of that interview work for my book, The Teacher, about on the teacher exodus, you know, over 400 teachers interviewed. And 60% fully self-admitting that they were on, you know, some form of tranquilizer and or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, antidepressant medication to deal with the stress and the depression and the system, Teacher Hallie, the way you said that, the system and the way the system just eats them up. And they're like, they really had to go to that chemical to say, because they weren't going to be able to achieve balance. And so you got to then kind of, I guess, get some kind of like a chemical balance right there. It's horrible. And then Johnny, you were talking about this coming back though, too. Let's be honest. And Hallie made this the point. This is a gender issue. It is. We have to be this. I was making a comment, you know, it was offensive, but you know, it's like, you can hear people going, here we go. Whiny women again, just talking about how hard they have it. And the reality is though, is that, that is the way it's portrayed like that. And so, you know, we can put it out there, and we need to put it out there to say, because that is the kind of toxic attitude people bring to particularly teaching as the profession. John, you even said about nursing because of the gender roles, the historical situation where people are saying, look, they're women, they're moms. They like working way beyond the capacity of any other human being. That's what they're supposed to do. And the reality is like, okay, we've got a whole lot of culture to go up against and a very toxic system. That's kind of what I've been hearing all of this. And Joanna and Hallie want to jump in.
Well, something's coming to mind for me is that, you know, Hallie and I have always been involved in our unions. And a couple years ago, we were trying to bring this up of teacher well-being and addressing teacher needs through our meet and confer process. And so what we did is we put together a survey and we surveyed our members related to physical needs, social needs, emotional needs, and intellectual needs, and trying to gauge like, were their needs in those four areas being met at their workplace at all? Mm-hmm. And it was a big fat no. Right. Social was the only one.
Sure.
Physical, people really, again, reported the truth about bladder issues, UTIs, dehydration, yep. Stress, high blood pressure, those kinds of things. Emotional was all the kinds of things about like never feeling good enough, you know, feeling like if I'm not succeeding or able to do all these things, then I'm not doing the job right. And then intellectual was on the fact that they didn't really get to sit, reflect, and were not exposed to real intellectual work. The type of things and PD people were experiencing were very low level sit and get. So, but social was pretty, you know, again, here's the thing. I don't know. The teachers like each other pretty much. And I think it's because we do form strong bonds. I don't know. There's a term the kids use now called trauma bonding. Maybe that's it. And when we brought these things forward, and in terms of even saying things like, I've got a quick solution for you. Have a fridge that's stocked with like cold water, LaCroix, fruit, healthy things. And we literally were laughed at. Like, why would we do that? Like, you expect us to... Meanwhile, my husband works a job where every meal is catered, you know, cold drinks get delivered. Like it's considered like, right. I think they'd probably be, they'd be up in arms if that didn't happen. But so we work in a system that doesn't even know how to respond to a request for wellness and was unable to really be bold and say like, you know what, this is an easy thing to put in a policy book, but we're not going to do it. And I think it's, again, like we don't have the language, we don't have the setup, but that's what we're advocating for. Because again, like these are just basic human needs. And you'll find that some of the parallels the teachers are providing for the students. Hallie and I had the fridge with the Brita water pitcher available to the students, funded because we're like, their physical needs need to be met. We had the little tea set up, you know, with snacks for their physical needs to be met. So I don't know, but when we did that survey, it just was resounding to me, one, what the teachers were saying, and then two, when we brought it through the channels of how it could be addressed, it was scoffed at and looked at like, these aren't really work issues. These are personal issues.
I'll add to another example is, or I just see that people have such a connection to like what school needs to be, or we hear the words like grit and rigor, and this is what's going to help. And it always makes me think about like, okay, if I say homework, you know, people have different definitions of what the purpose of it, you know, yes or no, it needs to happen. But I sat back and I thought about, okay, in our culture, we're talking more and more about work-life balance, right? So work your 40 hours that week, or, you know, per week and then leave. Well, then why don't we do that for students too? Why do we assign homework if we're going to talk about we're in a work-life balance culture now? So I'm like, it's a lot of lip service. It's a lot of, oh yeah, we need to care about these things. But when it comes to actually doing them and changing things, people are like, whoa, no, you need to do the homework because the study somewhere said something with the word grit and rigor in it. You know, so everything is always met with this like, well, but we can't do that. That's how I have always felt.
Grit and rigor. That sounds like the next new punk rock band. Grit and rigor right there.
Well, and my friend, Dr. Fullen and I were talking last week about how if you go with well-being, you kind of really can't get it wrong. Like if you're going to say we're going to serve nutritional food, you're not really harming people, right? And if you're like, we're going to get people outside and we're going to have them move, you're not going to get harm from that. But there are many forms of learning that are harmful. And there are many practices we have in schools that create harm. And I view like, right, the homework is go eat healthy. Go to bed, kids.
Go outside.
Stay off the screens.
Play.
Yeah. Play. And I love how both Hallie and Joanna, you're reminding us too. It's a system. It's a whole, like, imagine like a garden or a healthy ecosystem, which shockingly, we're bad at keeping our environment healthy and recognizing that it's actually a system. It's delicate balance. But relating that it's not just when you're expressing the working conditions for teachers, we're like, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm having like flashbacks. Like, I don't know how we do it or did it. And in fact, we had to change what we were doing in order to literally stay somewhat healthy. But I love this idea of like thinking of it as a system because it's the learners too. And it's this dynamic that we have together. How do we be healthy and learn together and be together? That's what we're talking about when we're saying public schools are the bedrock of democracy. Yeah. Well, we're not really doing democracy very well in our schools or in our communities. Holy smokes. Let's put a pause on that.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Two attempts by Gaza war protesters to occupy buildings did not end successfully at the University of Pennsylvania last night. ABC's Brianna Smith.
Philadelphia police officers swarmed the campus to take the pro-Palestinian protesters into custody. And during some moments, officers scuffle with some of the protesters, police arresting the demonstrators.
At the University of Chicago, Gaza war protesters got into the politics building, confronted former Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp in her office.
I think it was three students came in, two initially and then three eventually, into my office, masked, you know, basically saying I needed to leave. I'm like, well, no, I don't.
She didn't. Trucks carrying badly needed aid for Gaza are rolling across a new shoreline pier built by the U.S. military. Utility crews work to restore power in the Houston area after violent storms, where it's expected to hit 90 degrees today. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Game 2 of the Brewers and Astros coming up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The two teams playing at Minute Maid Stadium in Houston, where over 1 million people are without power, millions of dollars of damage after a 100-mile-per-hour windstorm hit the city Thursday night. The Brewers losing last night's game 5-4. They were ahead in the fifth when Freddy Peralta gave up a 3-run homer to Jeremy Peña. So the Astros have now won 6 in a row, 4 games out of first, as they try and climb to the top of their division and at the same time get some rest for some of their starters, Astros manager Joe Espada.
It's a long stretch of game. We're in the middle of 16 games in a row. We have Thursday off, then we're going to another 13, so I try to map out some days off for some of these guys. I talk to them ahead of schedule, but it's not easy, especially when we're playing well, but it's important for us to have these players healthy for the long haul to get to where we want to get to.
NFL former Packers tight end Robert Tonyan has signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Tonyan spent the last year with the Chicago Bears. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Corey Hartman with your forecast. For today, sunshine and highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, partly cloudy, chance of a shower or thunderstorm, a low around 55. On Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 82. Showers and storms Sunday night, a low around 61. Showers and storms for Monday, with a high near 81.
It's 51 at our studios.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlic helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlic is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlic Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Monday to the greatest radio show ever. Dom and Crude, we're doing it live. Your calls, your text. Join us, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All because of you. We say that. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yes, you the listener, it's all because of you. No, it's not because of you. The teachers are dysregulated and the system eats them up. It's just the way it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. You can jump in. You can talk education with us, regulation, teacher well-being. But, you know, we got a few more texts, though, too, from Cam. And I just want to say, Cam, thanks for doing all of that, you know, the work, spending all that time doing all the text messaging you can. Teaching is one of the hardest working civil servant careers. I'm in IT at DHS, and I find the micromanagement and expectations minimal compared to teachers who are told my district management, peers, parents, and sometimes students all of the things they need and expect from the teacher. Toss in the ever-rotating students and challenges each student may bring. It's not for me. I'm still to programming. I respect the H-E double toothpicks out of you guys, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna. Cam, thanks. Lots more out there, too. But, it's okay. I'm perplexed, though, because we're always trying, really, when we have Educators Amplified, we don't want to just name the problem. We want to name the solution. And, okay, the problem is well-being, the system is part of the problem. I'm kind of at a loss on this one because you say grit and rigor and all those things, like those are built into the system so much so that the culture assumes that if you're not standing, Joanna, you said this, you know, if you're not standing in front of students teaching, you must mm-hmm. not be working. And therefore, mm-hmm. if you're not working, then, oh my God, you're taking a break. And the reality is going, well, whoa. Okay, I need any solution. If you're out there, though, too, and you've got a solution, come on, give us a call, 855-752-4842. How do we fix the system? Is it through small acts of resistance that teachers themselves have to organize? Potentially here going, where are our unions on the conditions of work that we're talking about here? I mean, if we have a union, shouldn't the union be talking about the conditions that we were? Oh, I got some giggling and some looks on some faces there. Teacher Hallie, go ahead.
Well, I just, of course, I'm pro-union. And I'm like, guess who the union is made up of? Teachers. So not only are we working all day, then we're going to spend our time after work to,
Well, and we do fight for these things.
Correct.
We do fight for these things.
Right.
By trying to get people guaranteed prep time, by trying to say people need downtime.
But I just feel like, in what profession is this so required?
Right, where they're like, what's your union doing about it? We're like, everything.
All day.
And we all know how prep time goes. And even in the best case scenario, maybe you have a prep time, but you're covering for another person's class, or there is a student who needs to stay over. There is, you know, like zero time to breathe.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely what we learned, you know, all the years that I've been representing people, and especially post COVID, when we're down teachers, we're down subs, we're down overall school staff. And really, people just don't have a moment to think straight. They don't have moments to themselves. And I don't know if it was on air or over the break where you were saying you have friends who are doctors and they recognize that. And I, same thing, like, what do I got going on this summer? Like you said, colonoscopy, mammograms, like all the things that you don't have time to do in the school year. And so even think about that, like you don't have time to do that, or you don't get time to do that. Mm-hmm. We had people, one solution that has been in multiple districts, because Hallie and I are involved with multiple districts. Mm-hmm. Their solution to teachers needing to go to medical appointments was, one, they bring a place on campus and are like, hey, you won't have to leave for an hour. You can just take 10 minutes and go get your medication and be seen.
Get your physical.
Mm-hmm. And then two, I mean, Hallie's aware of a district where the doctor will come to your classroom. And so like, I'm like, okay. Like, and so again, you're acting like that's helping me.
Yeah. It's so not a good thing. Yeah.
Right. It's sold as like, well, hey, you won't have to take time off. And it's like, I do not want to have a doctor's appointment in my classroom. It's filthy. Yeah. First of all,
and made me think though. Go ahead, keep going, Joanna.
Well, right. Well, just that it's not clean. It's not like a doctor's office, and I really don't want to, you know, get in a gown in my classroom. You know, all
you're making me think. It's like, okay, I'm going to teach. I got reading. I got my reading, my bluebirds, my redbirds, and my buzzards reading groups, and then I got to turn my head and cough, and then I'll come back and I'll get. It's like, whoa, that doesn't work like that, man. Well, oh my God, why would we say
it's absolutely
that?
But, not regulated? It's not.
Joanne, go ahead.
In the current structure, that was the solution.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, phone call. Joanne, we love Joanne. Joanne, what's happening, our friend?
Great discussion. I just have one question. In all the institutions on which I've worked, when there is a question about employee well-being, we get this anonymous survey, and we're supposed to be filling out these little, you know, these little check marks and all of that. And then maybe 3, 4, or 5 months later, there's a review, and the review usually says everything's all right. And there's no discussion, and I'm just wondering if that anonymous survey idea has spread, unfortunately, to other institutions, or if it's just the places where I've habitated.
No, I think it's common. You know, I do think it's common. Or, you know, there's the employee engagement surveys, and they always have parts of it. And so, I definitely think it's been in all the institutions I'm familiar with, and then that's why we will do our own through our union.
Well, and surveys are the most like gaslit situations I've ever felt, where like you take the wellness survey at your work and then they corral everybody together to tell you what like the responses were, but in the way that they interpret it. Mm-hmm. So similar to like, we heard that, you know, like
you needed time to go to the doctor. So right. We brought them to you.
No, that is not what's being communicated. Like we use the word, and I don't know if I've said this in the past, but we'll use the word like things get very Frankensteined is what, you know, Joanna would always say, like when we come like to schools, like I'll hear people talk about like growth mindset, let's say outside of education. Well, how it was introduced to me in the school setting, how they Frankenstein it, I, you know, roll my eyes. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just tell the kids to have a growth mindset. But what I'm missing is I don't have a growth. You know, like it's used very condescendingly. Like things are used very against us. Mm. Like it is wild to me. Like something like warps and changes and then it morphs into something else. But we can get into more like solution oriented. I just, and maybe this sounds fleeting, but I'm like, even just having these conversations, I just have so much compassion for teachers as far as like they're on. And then it's like, and then how should we correct it? You know, like they're in it, they're trying to do their best, but then also have to have the solutions. And so I'm thankful that we can be here to help offer that it doesn't need to be all up to them.
Well, and we've had this discussion about other things here on the show. Part of it is that difference between individual responsibility and collective, that, right? We have such, you know, the old way is like, yeah, that's up to you. You figure it out. You get your balance. You find out how to get hydrated. You make your time. And we're talking now about what is our collective responsibility to one another? What is our collective responsibility to have schools be places that are, I mean, because I always say on the flip side, I'm like, teachers could be the healthiest people. Why couldn't we be the healthiest people? We have access to all the things, right? Mm-hmm. We have access to beautiful spaces, food service, physical activity, social. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things. It could be the healthiest profession. It really could be. That's not an exaggeration. Like, no, all the pieces are there.
The whole idea that you should, that in fact, why wouldn't it be the healthiest profession? Because we should be modeling that, as we're saying, for young learners. The idea is that they should be seeing teachers acting in the best ways to take care of themselves and well-being. And the reality is now, you just made me think about this, is that, my goodness, from the time kids walk into kindergarten, they start learning from the very beginning of going, this ain't a place where you stay healthy. You got to get out of here before you can go get healthy. Right?
And often they are, it's so sad and yet sweet. They're the most compassionate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, something that goes through my mind with solution minded is I'm all about the structure. And I think something that would cost, well, I know would cost zero money, would be changing the power dynamics. So what I mean by that is, like I said before, it's a top down management. It's a power over structure, meaning like, you know, rules and regulations are set. The school board then decides if they want it or not. They tell the superintendent. The superintendent tells the principals. The principals tell the teachers. And then the teachers, you know, teach to the students. And I don't think like parents or community members really comprehend how messed up that is, or even understand that it's happening. Like, I think a lot of people just assume like, oh, you're in your classroom, so you have this autonomy, or I'm trusting you to teach kids what they need to know, or my child what they need to know, because you're the one in the classroom with them. But so much is mandated, so much is prescribed, so much is looked at from a microscope, you know, on these teachers, that's really been sucked away more and more and more. Like throughout my career, I could see how it got less and less and less based on teachers' intuition, based on their craft, their expertise, on to do what's best for children. And so I think or I know, bringing in more of a power with structure where it's more like the actual input of teachers who are doing the work that has an equal footing in the way that decisions are made and deciding what would be best is going to be one way that things can change. Because so much is messed up right now because teachers are, I believe, screaming like this isn't working for kids, but they have no power, nowhere in the system where that's actually acknowledged. And then decisions change because of it. So I'm all about the power structure. We need to have power with the people who are working on the front lines.
I thought you were setting up a new teacher thing when you were going like, okay, we need to be solution oriented, growth mindsetting and grit. It's like, well, the problem with you whiny women is that you don't have a solution forward agenda right now. Oh man, it's just, my goodness. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education Wednesday night. Yes, that is, those are, that's Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified are in the house. 855-752-4842. Teacher well-being, it is absolutely something that we think about this though too. From now, I'm going to throw my neighbor in here, Hallie.
Oh, here he comes.
Shouldn't my neighbor actually wants, this is the other thing that my neighbor, the public should demand that our teachers operate in a healthy system. So when we're talking about a solution, part of the solution is out there too. You listener right now, you, my neighbor, we need to step up and demand that schools and the way we run schools are places that do model the best of everything that we do, the best of health, the best of food, the best of taking care of what it means to understand. The reality is that, the system stays in place because, hey, the system is status quo and we know what happens with status quo. Status quo does everything it possibly can to keep itself in power. We have to disrupt status quo. When we disrupt status quo, hey, that's when we as a community come in and advocate for what's right for our teachers and our public schools and democracy. Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
When you try Grandpa's barbecue, will it be sweet? No. Fiery hot, fruity, or honey flavored? We think not. Instead, Grandpa's barbecue is the true original flavor of barbecue, without the hype, the additives, or the hoopla, because this is a family recipe that's handed down by Grandpa himself. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pulls out for summer, almost. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Educators Amplified in the house, Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna, Teacher Wellbeing, got another text, unnamed texter, but totally agreed with that last point. It's a crime on both fronts how teachers are refused resources, but also the ability to practice their pedagogy. Yeah, we didn't even talk about that whole part of the well-being, the fact that the autonomy to actually do the profession the way that professionals are supposed to have that ability to make decisions. Yeah, we're taking that away from you guys. Well, of course we are. Look, you guys can't even keep yourselves healthy. You got to end up going to the doctors all summer. We now, geez, we're coming in and we're just helping you out. We're going to tell you how to teach because man, it's a constant onslaught of unhealthiness that is delivered to schools, to teachers, and our kids and our community. And that's where it's like, community, you all, we need to rally around this and say, like, this isn't the type of situation that we believe that our tax dollars should be funding in a public school setting. If we're going to do this, we want what's best for the commons, what makes best for everybody. Well, then we need to demand that those healthy spaces actually become the reality. Because, man, we keep doing these shows like this. It's just like, oh, my God, we're talking about this. We need, and I'm not saying that we're part of the issue. I'm just saying solutions. This is a movement here to understand that well-being, teacher well-being, and this kind of reminds me of man, a mentor of mine, awesome, Karen Lewis, Chicago Teachers Union boss, who used to just always talk about going like, man, what we do is we advocate for what's best for kids, because what's best for kids is what's best for teachers, is what's best for the community. And anytime, she was always pointing out that, therefore, well-being is what we're supposed to be about. We got to move that. We got to make a movement again to say we need schools to be the models of well-being. I don't know. I know that's sounds all wishy-washy or something like that, but I don't know.
But see, it shouldn't. You said that because, again, we've been conditioned to believe that those are floofy, nice little things instead of they're essential. They're essential to how we survive and are healthy. It's essential. Well, like, our balance is essential.
And I'll say, like, the last several episodes I've been with y'all, we've been talking about how kids aren't well, how teachers aren't well, you know, with the guns and all of it, you know? So I just, if we're not going to regulate guns, then let's regulate ourselves.
And recognize that, you know, and what I also see is there's been kind of this gap in education too, where there's, because there are calls, right, where they'll be like, there are people who are fighting for mental health supports. And that is true and that is needed. But there, it seems to be like a chasm of like, here's the classroom and then here's like clinical help. And this bridge in between is just social support. Social support for health and well-being that is so accessible, effective, and doable. And but right now, again, it's still like we admire the problem, and it's just really hard for folks to reimagine how things could be done differently, because no matter what we do, and we put it into the same container, we're still just like, okay, yeah, let's address some of these mental you know, let's address well-being, but let's do it, you know, in this box and in this time frame. And how will we squeeze it in? If a teacher, if high school's teacher's teaching 8 hours a day, well, then how will they, how will we do that? Well, let's find a way. Oh, okay. Maybe you could have 5 minutes twice a month. You know what I mean? Like, literally, it's so it, no matter what, it's still within that, instead of, really looking at how we use time, what autonomy really means, how we are with, you know, focusing more on how we want to be instead of what we have to do. And right. But yes, it's not floofy, Tim. It's not floofy.
Well, thank you. Right.
Part of it is that people will always say like, it's floofy, it's kumbaya. And I'm here to just say it's essential. Well, we have to connect. We have to move. We have to be hydrated. We have to have all those things for, again, that ecosystem that Johnny talks about to work in balance.
And the ecosystem too, Johnny, that reminds me of another ecosystem that we always really like to talk about. In fact, Busted Pencils in that ecosystem, the Minocqua Brewing Company.
Oh, that's a great segue, Tim.
Busted Pencils.
I feel you. I feel you. And you know what? You know, kind of thinking about that, where we come together to be in community and really mm-hmm. think about that. And I think about what Teacher Joanna and Teacher Hallie are saying, and I'm you know, thinking of all the times I've either been part of, or they're like the survey Joanne brought up, caller Joanne, you know, they saying, oh, we understand that you need some wellness or balance. Let's have a in-service day where we have someone come and talk to us about our health or talk about, you know, the profession. And it's always like Joanna said, putting it back into the container, that's the problem. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I look forward to all these times where teachers get together with other teachers and talk about what can and ought to be, right? And not to put it all on teachers to take that leadership, but come on, like folks in those power structures that Teacher Hallie's talking about, mm-hmm. like respond. Really, like we need folks to say enough is enough. We want healthy teachers because we expect great things from our teachers, but they can't do good teaching if they're dysregulated. You just can't. You can't be patient and present for young learners. And when I say that, I even mean our adolescent learners. They're supposed to be pushing boundaries. They're supposed to be difficult. And so, you know, those are things that we need to think about. Who's in care of those young, those learners, and how are they cared for? And we can't just put it on themselves and each other. Like, we have to respond in a leadership way. And, you know, where can you have that kind of discussion? Well, one of the places you can have that if you're in Madison, at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company. They sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. I'm grateful because I got to hoist one up with Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna a couple weeks ago.
That was great. Person.
And just remember, folks, if you're a learner out there, you're an educator, you can throw some love to the educators out there. They're going through it right now. Busted Pencils.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. The Maggie Dawn Show.
On my next show, I am so excited to be interviewing Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, my former boss. You're not going to want to miss it.
Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More than 500,000 people in Houston are going to try to keep cool as utility crews work to restore power outages after violent storms. A helicopter tour showed less damage than they thought, says Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo.
We did see down trees. We did see trees on top of homes. We saw several homes that are under construction where the wooden beams have been totally crushed.
Not going as planned, attempts by Gaza war protesters to occupy university buildings yesterday, arrests at UPenn. At the U of Chicago, protesters confronted former Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp.
Basically saying I needed to leave. I'm like, well, no, I don't.
And she didn't. The White House saying they're working to jumpstart the stalled Gaza ceasefire talks again. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan heading back to the region tomorrow. More aid getting into Gaza via the U.S. military's new shoreline pier. This is ABC News. At the funeral for a black senior airman. Hundreds of Air Force members in their dress blues at a church in Stonecrest, Georgia. Civil rights activist Reverend Jamal Bryant.
We gotta call it as it is. Roger died of murder. He died of stone cold murder, and somebody has got to be held accountable.
Roger Fortson was 23. A sheriff's deputy in Florida was responding to a domestic trouble call. His body cam recording shows Fortson opened the door, pointing a gun at the floor. The deputy ordering him to drop it before firing. Milwaukee facing a severe shortage of lifeguards despite incentives including a pay bump, bonuses, even Brewers baseball tickets.
You know, I think that people definitely need to learn to swim. So some of the other factors that we see happening are, you know, people are getting internships for college much sooner than they were maybe 5-10 years ago.
Milwaukee County Assistant Parks Director Andrea Wallace. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.